Hello, I'm Rick Lancaster. Thank you for tuning in. Grab your Bible as we study through God's Word together. It's my hope that as we go through these messages, that we will all grow in our understanding of God's Word. As we grow in our understanding, we'll also be better equipped to glorify God, bless others, and grow faith, ours and others. If you have any questions about anything in this teaching, send me a message. I would love to connect with you. With that said, let's get into the Word and see what the Spirit would say to us today.
Let's go ahead and get started. Welcome to the Future Today Prophecy Meeting, as we will look at some things that are going on in the world around us. And I'm going to turn off my phone because I can hear myself talking on YouTube while I'm talking to you, and it's weird. Alrighty. So, you know, lots of things going on in the world, all around the world, things that are pointing to prophecy and reminding us of what the Bible has told us is going to happen. As I said this morning, that, you know, nothing is going on in the world the Bible didn't say was going to happen. And so, you know, we shouldn't be surprised by these things. Some of them are alarming, but at the same time, we, you know, even though it's alarming, we're not fearful because God told us it's going to happen, which means he's in control of everything, and so we rest in that. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to get into my teaching, and then we'll let Randy have his time. Which, why does he get more time than I do? We have to think about that. Or anyway, so let's pray. Wow. Let's pray, because I need, obviously, you know, I have some envy issues going on right here. You know, still being perfected. It's clogging up my pipe, and we need to fix that. So I need some spiritual Drano right now. Heavenly Father, we come thanking you for your presence here. We thank you for the opportunity to be with your people as we get in and talk about some of the things that are going on in the world around us. And Lord, these things going on, Lord, they don't surprise you. They didn't catch you off guard. You know, they point to things you told us was going to happen, and we need to rest in that as we do that, especially as the teaching I'm going to do. You told your people that the end time is going to be scary, and so we give this time to you and ask, Lord, that you would bring peace to our hearts as we rest in you and not put our hope and the things in the world around. So we trust you, we love you, praise you, we give this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So my topic for today is going to come out of 2 Timothy chapter 3. So if you want to turn there, 2 Timothy chapter 3. In that series through James, I have said that because the world has rejected God and his word, that it is going the wrong way and doing the wrong things. That if we, yeah, I think you brushed it. If we were all, you know, if the whole world was trusting God, obeying his word, this would be a wonderful place. This would be cool. This would be awesome. This would be great. But it's not. And so most of the world, not all of it, but most of it, has rejected God and his word. And so a wrong world, a world that's going the wrong way, can't do what's right. And it's not possible. So it's going to do things that are wrong, and those wrong things, you know, unfortunately, we are not protected from those things. Those things touch our lives. They touch the world around us, influence the world around us. They bring pain and suffering to the world. That really is a function of rejecting God and his word. Now, you know, some people like you to believe that things are going to get better. Unfortunately, that's not what the Bible says. It would be nice if things got better, but that's not what the Bible says is going to happen. Paul here tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1, but know this. This is something we should know, and because the Bible said we should know it, we should believe it, in the last days, perilous times will come. The last days are those days leading up to the second coming, to the return of Jesus Christ to establish his kingdom on the earth. And there's a whole series of events that are going to take place that are associated with that. That's not the topic of this. We're talking about the time leading up to the beginning of those things, which we believe the very beginning of that is the rapture of the church. Other things are going to happen. We're going to see happening going on in the world around us. But the key event that we're waiting for, we're expecting, we're hoping for, is the rapture of the church. That in the last days, perilous times will come. And that word perilous means hard to bear, fierce, violent. That's what it means, perilous times. That the closer we get to the rapture of the church, the more perilous the times will be. And so it's going to be harder to bear. It's going to be difficult. He's speaking to the church, speaking to believers, that it's going to be hard to put up with some of this stuff, to keep going with it. And you know, there's many people that would try to convince you that technology is making the world a better place. No, it's not. No, it's not. It may make some aspects of life easier, but it's not better. And in fact, it is making it easier for evil to happen. Okay, hold on. The Empress of my universe.
For those that don't know, it's his wife.
That would be my wife, the lovely Miss Kelly. Yeah, I never mind. Do you know where I am right now? Sorry. Oh, my drain is so clogged right now.
You want me to... Technology.
So, technology, one of the things that technology has done is it's made it easier for evil to flourish. And so, again, we're seeing things going on in the world around us right now that are just terrible. The latest testimony to that is, some of these big technology firms, the big social media and things like YouTube, which we're using right now, things like that are censoring truth in favor of ideologies. That if our expression is contrary to their ideologies, they'll just block you. They'll just cut you off, and in essence, trying to keep that dialogue going along the way, the wrong way, and with no dissenting voices. And I believe that's something we're going to see more and more as time goes on. It's going to get harder and harder. Almost 2,000 years ago, Paul told us what kinds of people that we would see flourishing during this time. And he says it to us right here in chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. For men, and we need to understand that that's not just men, but men and women, will be lovers of themselves. And really, you got to think through and think that I can show you, in the different places, each one of these. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You've probably heard the term going viral. Anybody heard that term, going viral? That's when something on social media, especially social media, it starts to get, people start seeing it, and then they start sharing it with everybody on their thing, and then they share it to somebody else. And they do it in less time, and, you get hundreds of thousands, even millions of views. That's going viral, that these little posts or whatever they are just spread like wildfire, across, social media. They almost always fall into one of these categories. You can look at them and see and identify it. It's one of these things that's going on, lovers of themselves or boasters or proud or whatever it might be. You could identify and narrow it down to one or more of these things. And the reason why those things go viral is because that's what the world wants. The whole world is going this way, and so whenever somebody stands up and does something that's in alignment with their viewpoints, they want everybody to see it. You know, it's not just people in the world. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. You know, seeing in the church, sadly, we can see that Paul was right. There are people in the church that you know, they have this religion, kind of what James is talking about, this religion, this outward expression of worship, but it's not right. And it is, in fact, useless. Not all churches, but I think many churches would receive the same rebuke that the church in Ephesus did in Revelation 2:4. I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You know, I believe we're living in the days, in the time of the church, of the Laodicean church, that lukewarm church that is repulsive and disgusting to Jesus. And we have an obligation before God to stand in the truth, to speak the truth, to proclaim the truth, to live the truth out for others to see it, because the days are perilous. Only the pure gospel of Christ is going to save people. And sadly, we're seeing something else out there. And even though the times are perilous, even though they're dangerous, they're evil, they're violent, they're hard to bear, God calls us to be faithful, to live our faith, to live it out, to, as I said in the message, to be image bearers, to carry that image out, and to do it as boldly and as brightly as we possibly can out in this dark world. Skip down to verses 10 through 12. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, that is the teaching of Paul, manner of life, that's the way he was living his life, purpose, that what God had called him to, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly. Who wants to live godly? I do. Then here's a promise to you. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Woohoo! Say hallelujah. No, don't say hallelujah. Nobody wants that. Don't say amen. Nobody wants to experience persecution. The reality is that it is a part of this thing we call the Christian faith. You know, Paul was an example. He was an example to Timothy. He was an example to every church that he went into of what it means to follow Christ, to live out your faith in a way that others can see it. And you do that, you swim against the current of this culture, and you're going to run into things. You know, actually, things are going to run into you. And it could be painful. It could be uncomfortable. And those things could be persecutions. It could be trials and tribulations. All these different things. We're still called to be faithful. We're still called to do it. Doesn't matter if it's hard, because God is with us. He's going to carry us through it. But he's calling us to keep going no matter what. You will suffer persecution. Why? Why will we suffer persecution? Because we are called to do what's right. We are called to stand upon what is right. We're called to stand against the darkness. We're called to speak truth where the lie is being promoted. We're called to be like Christ. And the rest of the world doesn't want you to do that. Doesn't want you to. And we're living in a time and a culture where the culture thinks they can stop you. And they're going to try. And we may see a time in the future where they're gonna get better at it. They're gonna start being better at censoring, you know, speech that doesn't align with their ideologies. They're gonna be better at shutting down organizations and groups that will not promote the ideologies of this wrong way world. And we need to be faithful now while we can, to do as much as we can. And to do it without fear of what could happen to us. Because, you know, most of us have never experienced anything that is truly persecution. Not really. You know, everything that we've experienced in this country pales in comparison to what other countries are going through right now, right this moment. other countries are suffering great persecution. You know, pastors are being jailed and churches are being burned and all these things are going on a regular basis. For us, we get to show up. We get to, you know, be bold about, you know, our faith. That may not always be the case.
For now.
For now. That's right. Yeah, example of this is this week, the Department of Justice is asking the FBI to investigate local school boards where parents are standing up against things like mask mandates. And they're saying, no, we don't want our kids wearing their masks all day long. Or where they're standing up against curriculum that includes sexual perversion in their schools to our young children, teaching them these perversions. Or things that confuse children about their sexual identity. Boys and girls, period. But they want to teach other things. Or that teaches them to hate their own race and to hate people of different races. You know, parents are standing up and saying, no, I don't want that. I don't want my child taught that. And the Department of Justice told the FBI to go investigate these things because they're saying something that's contrary to what the government wants them. You know, recently, the Democratic governor of Virginia said that parents have no right to say what their children are taught in school. No right. It's not their place to determine what their children are taught in school. Terrorist. That's just a couple of things, and Randy is going to tell us like 1,000 others if you give him time. These are making the times perilous. These things and some of the other things that we're going to talk about, they are making the times perilous. And Paul goes on to say that the closer we get, the worse it's going to get. Verse 13. But evil men and imposters in the church is what he's referring to there, and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The closer we get to the end, the more this stuff is going to be going on. So you know, some think we got to go undercover with our faith. You know, we ought to, you know, not be so bold about it so that, you know, we don't experience a persecution. Well, Paul's not going to give us that option. Verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from your childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man and woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Where do we do our good works? In the church? Everywhere. Wherever God leads us, wherever God has made us to do our works, whatever he made you for, whatever that good work is that he made you for, he gave you the Spirit of God and the Word of God so that you can be equipped to do the work of God. And you do that out there, wherever the out there is for you individually, regardless of how perilous the times come. God is calling his people to be faithful to him, no matter what. Be faithful to him, to trust him through these perilous times. And why do I want to land on this so hard? Because we talked about grace today, that we will experience the grace of God in the midst of perilous times, right? If God's grace never stops flowing, if the enemy can convince you the perilous times are not right, and that it's wrong, and you know, and I need to hide from this, then he's going to clog your drain. He's going to lie to you, deceiving and being deceived in the church. And we need to fight against that. We need to be ready. We need to be okay. When the perilous times come, they're already, we can see that they're heating up. And as the perilous times going, you know, that we keep going and not afraid of what might come, because we will never, if we walk in faith and we ask the question, Lord, what would you have me to do now? If the Lord tells you to do something, you know somebody's going to resist or come against. If he told you to do it, he's going to lead you through it. He's going to give you the grace you need to do it. He's going to give the power you need to do it. He's going to give you whatever you need in that moment to do it. But you have to trust him in that moment. He will take you through those perilous times. And a godly life, yes, it might lead to some persecution. Turn to Revelation chapter 2, and then I'm going to be done. Another 15 or 20 minutes. Kidding. At the time that John wrote the Revelation, one of the cities that Jesus dictated a letter to was the city of Smyrna, was experiencing severe persecution. They were being hurt greatly, much more than any of us will ever see, ever, I imagine. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. Revelation 2, verse 8 says this, "And to the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation, and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are the Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you'll have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." Jesus doesn't promise. Notice what he says to the church. He does not promise to save them from the tribulation, from the persecution. He promised to save them through it. He's going to be with them through the persecution, that they're going to experience hard things. He even tells them what kind of hard things they're going to experience. And he just promises, okay, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to carry you through to the other side. So we're living in perilous times, and it's going to get harder and more dangerous and harder to bear, more violent around us. That's just, the Bible says it's going to happen, so we have to believe it's going to happen. But we don't live in fear because God is with us. If he is for us, somebody said this morning, who can be against us? No one can. And we can, if we will trust him, we can endure through it, as uncomfortable as it might be. And even in perilous times, we can endure. And Paul says in our text, the key is knowing, believing, and obeying God's word and following the example of godly people that God has put around in your life. He's given you people in your life. You can see how to live through these times. Follow their example if you don't know how to do it yourself. Then let's boldly and faithfully carry the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ out to the world that needs to hear it so desperately, because while it's going to get hard, it's going to get difficult, and there are so many reasons why we ought to be, you know, paying attention to what's going on around us, that there's still hope for someone out there. I shared on Friday, I sensed God was doing a work in someone's heart. I gave a gospel message because I believed somebody needed to hear it in that group. And so, you know, I believed God wanted that God wanted to save somebody there, so I shared the gospel. And I don't know if he did. That's not my responsibility. I did what I was told to do, and that was to share the gospel. Trust God to do the rest. And we need to do that. We need to hear his voice. We need to know that we've heard God's voice, and then do whatever he says. And we do that no matter what the outcome might be. We don't worry about the outcome. That's not our responsibility. We just trust him. And he will do it.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from God's Word. It's one of my core beliefs that the Bible or Word of God has the power to transform our lives. It's my hope that these messages will help you to do just that and to glorify God and bless others and grow faith. If there's anything that we can do to help you with that, don't hesitate to connect with me. You'll find ways to do that in the show notes. In the show notes, you'll also find links to my sermon notes and other resources to help you in your study of God's Word. And sometimes we do need help to grow in our faith. If there's anything that I can do, don't hesitate to connect with me. I love talking to God's people about God and His Word. So send me your questions, and I'll do my best to answer them. This message was shared at Calvary Chapel French Valley in Murrieta, California. If you'd like more information about the church, go to calvaryfv.com. The link is in the show notes. Until next time, stay in the Word and have a radical week with Jesus.